You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. If you don't know what that is, you're about to. Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, or you could look up on the screen. Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord in that place. And suddenly, someone say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole house when they were sitting. And they appeared to be divided tongues of fire that sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God's best gift to the world was Jesus. Jesus' best gift to the world was the Holy Spirit. Let's pray today. The title of this message is A Gift at Pentecost. Holy Spirit, this is all about you. Jesus, we declare you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you for your presence. We don't make room for you at Mercy Culture. We give you the room. We say, have your way. Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your Spirit is saying today. We declare that your word is true, the Bible is true, and every man's a liar. I pray right now, no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. I pray spirits of fear have to go, anxiety has to go, all witchcraft has to go, no intimidation can be here. We declare right now, no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would glorify Jesus. You would magnify Jesus. You would reveal Jesus to us. Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you for your presence in this house. We thank you for your presence in Fort Worth. We say you are welcome in Fort Worth, Texas. So now we declare right now, Father, we thank you that no one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Teach us your mercy culture today. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. 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 I am so excited about today because today is the anniversary or the birthday of the church. And I want to let you know right now, I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to feel pressure. I don't want you to feel less than as we talk about the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you don't speak in tongues, if that's not a gift that's been given to you yet, touch three people and say yet, then listen, I want you to relax. I don't want you to feel bad. Nobody in here is better than you. I want to teach to you today what the Bible says and the gifts that God has for you. Listen, if you're taking notes, this is really important. The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird, and they misrepresent the Holy Spirit. I want to let you know because the Holy Spirit's been given a bad rap by bad ambassadors. But they don't resemble his true heart. He's a comforter. He's a friend. He's a peacekeeper. The Holy Spirit is always, you know that family member that always comes up and gives gifts? You know what I'm talking about? That even when people aren't giving gifts, they always have gifts. How many like that person, okay? That's the Holy Spirit. He always has gifts, and he loves to give gifts, and I'm going to teach you this morning about his gifts. This is really important that you understand this. We are unapologetically not embarrassed or ashamed of the Holy Spirit at Mercy Culture. We said it on the first team night, and in fact, if you didn't know this, people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and get their prayer language from even before we began. Actually, it started with Ross and Audra in the back offices of Gateway where we're sitting down and meeting people. This is over a year ago, and he keeps talking about all this stuff, but he won't say Holy Spirit. I'm like, bro, are you Spirit-filled? And you remember this? And he goes, I think so. I'm like, bro, it's yes or no. And he said this. He said, I had a bad experience. Hope this is okay. Sharing your business in front of hundreds of people.
And I said, well, what's your experience? And he said, some guy grabbed my beard. I used to have a big beard and started yanking it hard. I'm like, bro, that guy was a jerk. That had nothing to do with God. In fact, that's opposite Holy Spirit. That's flesh. And I said, Ross, you're about to get this. And I didn't even lay hands on him. I think Audra did. And all of a sudden, the baptism of the Holy Spirit just fell on him. He started praying in the Holy Ghost. He hasn't stopped yet. If you notice, he even opened up worship doing it. He's a speaking in tongue, praying in the Holy Ghost machine now. This is important. Listen, this has been a part of our church from the beginning. We had this girl come to team night, one of the first team nights. No one laid hands on her. No one prayed for her. She'd been asking God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for years. My wife was ministering and said, some of you just need to get to your knees right now and worship the Lord. The moment her knees touched the carpet, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. We're having people getting baptized at prayer on the rooftops around the city. If you weren't at team night last Sunday night, it was bananas. Come on, raise your hand if you were there. Testify. There was dozens of people baptized in the Holy Ghost, including children. I didn't know Heather was going to tell that story about her getting baptized in the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And I just want to be clarified. We are on a date speaking in a heavenly language. I just want to be clear. I want to be clear before this gets on Facebook and y'all start saying stuff. Okay? We weren't speaking in other tongues on a first date. I just want to be sure. I want to be sure. But for the record, she did kiss me first. I'm just saying, can you blame her? Can you blame her? She couldn't keep her hands. I'm just saying. She just couldn't take. Because my heart burns. Okay. Listen. This is important. If you are saved, if you've given your life to the Lord, committed your life to Jesus, wave your hand at me like this. Okay, then you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Let me show you in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you are saved, you already have the gift. You just need to unwrap it. I'm going to give you my experience. I love the Holy Spirit. This is my favorite topic. We can talk about this for the rest of Mercy Culture's existence. And I've been studying the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit for a long time. When I was about 12 years old, I was in a little junior high meeting in a stuffy room. And this lady who was about 119 years old... At least it appeared so, and I know we can't live past 120, so that's my estimation. She was in this room, and this little old lady, she was one of the church mamas. And somehow she ended up teaching at youth group. I'm like, what is she doing here? And she starts talking about the Holy Spirit. And she just said, she's taught about the Holy Spirit. And at the very end, she said, if you want the Holy Spirit, come down and get this gift. Just put your hand in my hand. And I walked down at 12 years old, put my hand in her hand, and I all of a sudden just start speaking in tongues. And I felt this warm blanket come over me, and I never stopped. And I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. I'm going to tell you why I am so passionate about it. I had one guy on Instagram this week tell me, he said, you're making much bigger deal of this than it needs to be. He said, it's really not that big of a deal. I was so grieved. I'm like, Holy Spirit, you could defend yourself, but I'm grieved. Because I don't think I can make a big enough deal of it. And I'm going to show you why today. I've been praying in the Holy Ghost. I've been on this journey. And then when I was 18, I met the Holy Spirit that I've been praying to for so long. My life's forever changed. And one of the most greatest passions of my life is introducing people to the greatest gift giver who's ever walked the face of the earth. It's a sad shame that there is more sin that is received in churches than the Holy Spirit by some. Let me say it differently. Sin is better welcomed in houses of worship than the Holy Spirit. And I want to say this with great humility because we are not better than anyone else or any other church. But if you notice, not many are talking about Pentecost Sunday. Don't you think that's interesting? Have you ever had a close friend that you missed their birthday? And you're like, I'm not a good friend. How many of us miss such an important moment in the body of Christ on a regular basis? Listen, there is a great demonic strategic resistance to abolish one of the greatest gifts ever given, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a demonic resistance. I'm going to say this. There is nothing I have seen in Christianity that is resisted as much as this. Nothing. I gave my life to the Lord at 3, was baptized in the Holy Ghost at 12, started preaching full-time at 16 years old. And in my life, I'm 36, in my life, I have never seen anything that's more resistant to this. I remember I was in sophomore year in high school, and we're having a move of God in our youth ministry. And people are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're going out in the power. I mean, just wonder, signs, wonders. Kids getting their life to the Lord. Drug addicts getting saved, getting set free, getting delivered. We're having a genuine move of God. And I was sitting at the lunch table at high school, and a group of Christians from another denomination all got around me and began a verbal assault publicly at the lunch table about why you can't speak in tongues, why it died with the apostles, it ceased, all these different things. And one after another, I'm sitting there by myself at the lunchroom table, and there's about 6 or 7 of them that gathered around me. And I remember it was one of the defining moments of high school for me. And I wasn't equipped to respond to all of their accusations. But as all I know is that dude walked into our church, a drug addict and alcoholic. He came to the altar, God touched his life, and he walked out a different person. And you say you're a Christian, but you live like every other worldly person in our high school. Something didn't add up. There's no resistance like the resistance of the Holy Spirit. So what is Pentecost? The word Pentecost comes from the root word pentatekon. It means this, 50th day. That's what Pentecost means, 50th day. The day of Pentecost, the reason why they call it Pentecost, is it came 50 days after Easter, after Jesus died on the cross, the 50th day after. Pentecost was the second of 3 great Jewish feasts, because there was actually 2 Pentecosts, not one. The first Pentecost was when the word or the Torah or the Ten Commandments was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. That's when the law was given. And Jews called it Pentecost until there was a new Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And so to keep them from being confused, they just refer to it now as the Shavuot. That's in Exodus 19 and 20. So the first Pentecost was when the word was given. The second Pentecost was when the Spirit was given. I love this, because when you find the Word and you find the Spirit, you find the Trinity. Watch, in the creation of the world, Genesis 1, 2 will be up on the screen. It says, the earth was without form and void, darkness over the face of the earth, and the Spirit, the Ruah of God, the breath of God was hovering over the faith. And watch this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and then God spoke the Word. Watch, the Spirit was there, the Word was spoken, creation happened. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. That Word that was spoken was Jesus, that was spoken over the Word. Let there be light. He is the light of the world. And watch this, just like the creation was formed with Spirit and Word, so was a new creation formed with their Spirit and Word. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. My wife has preached on that scripture all around the world. So what happened at Pentecost? It was the creation of the church. The creation of the world happened in Genesis. The creation of the church happened in Exodus chapter 2. You say, how is that the creation of the church? The disciples were gathered, leaders were gathered, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, waiting for the gift that Jesus told them he would promise. And the Spirit came. Once it came, they left that place. Peter preached one sermon. 3,000 were added to their number, and the church began from that moment. So let me say it like this. The church was created in tongues. There's three baptisms that are really important. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 through 8, it says, there are three that testify, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree. Three salvations. First salvation is a salvation, or the baptism, three baptisms. Baptism of blood, that's when you're a new creation in Christ. Then there's a water baptism, that's a public display of your new life in Christ. Then there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which you receive supernatural power or grace to walk in this new life. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, as John the Baptist was baptizing people in water, he prophesied that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So there is a water baptism that's important. It's a public display of your faith. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a public display of that inner working of the Holy Spirit. It was a promise of the Holy Spirit. It was the promise of Jesus to give this gift. Okay, I got a bunch of scripture. Buckle your seatbelts. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 4, it says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, Jesus speaking to his disciples. But now I'm going to him who has sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Verse 6, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. The disciples were bummed Jesus was leaving. Wouldn't you be too? Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Verse 13, and when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. And what he declares to you, these things will come. Verse 14, he will glorify me. That's what the Holy Spirit does, glorifies Jesus. And he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Verse 15, he will take what is mine and declare it or give it to you. He takes the power that was Jesus and he gives it to you. So Jesus says, I need to go because when I go, I'm going to give you my Spirit. And with my Spirit comes that power. Greek word for that is dunamis. Luke 24, verse 49 says this. Jesus again, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here and wait. Someone say wait. Until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. Someone say power. Come on, we're a Spirit-filled church. Say a little louder. Say power. Jesus said, wait for the gift. I was teaching at a Bible college a couple years ago, a bunch of young youth pastors. And I said, how many are Spirit-filled in this room? There's about probably 300 of them. And probably 50 of them raised their hand. And I said, so when Jesus said, wait for the gift, wait for the power, you just decided to go without it? Someone asked me, what's the difference between a church that speaks in tongues, a church that's baptized in the Holy Spirit, and one that isn't? I said, it's the difference between power and weakness. Man, that offended a lot of people. Jesus said, wait for the power. So if you are ministering without the Spirit, you don't have his power. Why do you think there's so many powerless places, powerless ministries, powerless entities in America today? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Again, John chapter 20, Jesus dies on the cross. He comes back. I'm going to jump through it. I'm not going to read it word for word just to help for time. You can read it on your own. In John chapter 20, Jesus walks through the walls where the disciples are praying. It's pretty cool. And after he walks through the walls, he shows them the scar marks. He shows them the spear mark on his side. And here's what he said to them. He said, now receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed upon them. Jesus said, receive it. You see it up on the screen? Is it up there? Go to the next scripture. There it is. Receive the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus said, receive it, why are so many people resisting it? It's green up there because it matches, but in your Bible, it should be red. Jesus said, receive it. Turn to your neighbor and say, receive it. So I'm gonna go through 10 frequently asked questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many ready to go? Number one, how many types of tongues are there? And it's really important that you don't get into semantics on the internet ever, because there'd be people that just like to just have the ministry of disagreement, okay? And so there's two main categories of tongues, okay? Within that, there are a few kinds, and I'm gonna show you scripturally. The first is the public tongues, which come in two forms. A word from God in tongues, a spiritually coded language used to give words from God that needs interpretation. Okay, this is when someone would pray in tongues, and after they pray in tongues, an interpreter will interpret what that was said. Okay, we find this in 1 Corinthians 14:12. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will it benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? Now, this is where people get in trouble, because we've been in church services, or if you've grown up in church, you know, you've been in a few. It's not many. It doesn't happen often. But someone will stand up, pray in tongues, then someone else will stand up and then give the interpretation, okay? And that might be how you're familiar being seen. But that's not exactly what this describes. It says that I will bring you some revelation. I mean this to believe this, that there needs to be a revelation, a teaching, a knowledge that comes forth after it. And I'm going to teach more about this in a moment, but when you pray in the Holy Spirit, that's where revelation and deep things of God come from. Now, the reason why this could get out of order is if people take it upon themselves to become distractions, and I'm going to talk about that a little more in a second. 1 Corinthians 14:23, it says this: so if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say, these people are out of your mind? The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. Now, the church of Corinth is messed up. The pastor's kids are sleeping, are having sexual relations with their own family members. Okay, there's women in the church at that time that are disrupting the service and asking questions that he had to bring order to. There's chaos that's going on, and these people are so excited about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they are distracting from a church service and praying in the Holy Ghost, and no one's getting benefit from it. Now, Paul was not abolishing tongues at all, because he said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So obviously, it's something that he was for. He wrote about it. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This was very important to a spiritual walk. But here's the problem, is everything has to be done in order. Now, there's many things that can distract and bring discord. Last week, there was a situation that publicly I had to bring order to, because God, the spirit of freedom will move when there's order. So just like Paul had to bring order to the church of Corinth, it's required in the church today. If you stand up and start praying in tongues while I'm preaching, John's going to take you out. Because that's out of order. You say, Landon, how do I know what's out of order? Anytime it draws attention to you and not on the Father, it's out of order. Everything the Spirit does, what? Reflects or brings glory to Jesus, brings glory to the Father. So if it's bringing attention to you, it's out of order. 1 Corinthians 14:26 and 27. What shall I say then, brothers, when you come together? Everyone has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these must be done to build up the church. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in tongues, two or three must speak in turn, and someone must interpret. But if there's no interpreter, he should remain silent in the church and speak only to himself and God. Look, it's told there, right there, only speak to you and God, which is a personal prayer language I'm gonna get to in a second. So if you don't have that interpretation, then you by yourself praying in tongues out loud just distracts, it doesn't help anybody. You following me? The second kind of public tongue is what we saw in Acts chapter 2. Where in Acts chapter 2, they began to pray in tongues and men heard their own language speaking. They heard it. Now they were praying in a heavenly language, but they heard their own dialect. This is another part of public tongues, or a gift of tongues. I've actually personally witnessed this. We were doing a service in Washington, and we were praying in the Holy Ghost. And as someone was praying in the Holy Ghost, someone was watching online from Africa and heard a translation in their native dialect of what was being said, but that person was just praying in the Holy Ghost. I've heard stories of missionaries that would get up and pray in the Holy Ghost and people would hear messages or salvation in their own dialect. I've heard dozens and dozens of stories of that over the years. So those are the two forms of public tongues. But what I'm most excited for is to talk to you about the private tongues or the personal prayer language. Majority of people only discuss personal tongues and they never talk about a private prayer language or praying in the Holy Spirit. So when people are resisting tongues, they're saying, hey, you need an interpreter. And yes, you do if there's a public word through that tongue. But if you're using a spiritual prayer language, an interpreter is not necessary. And I'm going to show you in scripture how that's true. So what they do is because people don't understand this or they haven't been taught well or the devil has just convinced people to resist it. And I'm going to show you why later, because this is what he does. He tries to resist it so that you can't walk in its power. Praying in tongue or praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries of the Spirit. That word, mysteries of the Spirit, means this, secrets from heaven. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Anyone who speaks in tongues edifies themselves. That word edifies means this, to build a strong house. The reason why there are so many Christians that struggle with spiritual strength is because their flesh is wrong, because they haven't built up or edified their house. Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy of faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Likewise, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for do we not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings or tongues too deep for words. And he who searches the heart and the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I love this. When you are praying in the Holy Spirit, you are building yourself up. You are spiritually working out and you are praying the perfect will of God. I met with a guy one time and he told me, I don't think I need to pray in tongues because I have too much things in English to pray for. And I said this, don't worry, that guy got baptized in the Holy Ghost here at Mercy Culture. I have the opposite problem. I don't think I have enough things in the Spirit to pray for. Because when you're praying perfect prayers. How many honestly struggle with knowing what to pray for sometimes? You get bored or things run out, okay? You just pray in your prayer language. Because you're praying perfect prayers. Scripture I just read. The Spirit is interceding with you. Let me say it this way. Your prayers cannot fail when you pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit is interceding with you. Second question. Do I need to speak in tongues to go to heaven? Hear this all the time. People message me, yeah, you do. No, you don't. You go to heaven by grace through faith in Jesus. Ephesians 2:8, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. No scripture supports you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues to go to heaven. Just like there's not a scripture that supports that you have to be baptized in water to go to heaven. And I know a lot of people have been taught that, but I hate to break it to you. There's a thief on the cross that wasn't water baptized. He didn't do the Nacho Libre. You have not been baptized. He didn't do that. He had faith in Jesus, and he said, today you'll be with me in paradise or in heaven. So water baptism is a public display of your faith. So watch, just like you're saved, you need to be water baptized, and we're going to be doing that here at the end of the summer as a church, at our church picnic. And the same way, after you've been saved, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just like you need to be water baptized as a public display of your faith, you need to be spiritually baptized and given these gifts. Okay? So the correct question is not, do I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? The correct question is, what don't I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? I don't know about you, but I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. There is nothing in my life that I don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit for, that I don't need the Holy Spirit for. I need the Holy Spirit before I make purchases. I need the Holy Spirit before I write sermons. I need the Holy Spirit before I go in meetings. I need the Holy Spirit before I go home for Christmas. Pray, saints. It's not that you need it to go to heaven. You need it for everything. Come on, you hear my heart. Number three, I was taught when I got saved that I got all of God and didn't need any more of God. Do we really need anything else? Okay, you already have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has more for you. Acts chapter 19, beginning in 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples or followers of Jesus and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" "No," they answered. "We've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Kind of like the church you were raised in. And when Paul laid his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and were prophesied. Look at this, look at this. There were followers, believers of Jesus that never even heard about it. So you could believe and follow Jesus and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. But these individuals believed and received. See, my daily prayer is this, man. Just the statement, "I have all of God that I need," scares me. Like, I've been passionately pursuing God with all of my heart my entire life. The only reason we're in Fort Worth, you know, I said for years, a decade, I said, there's no way we're going to pastor. No way we're doing this. Because I didn't want to deal with all your problems.
Sorry, that was such an evangelist thing to say.
No, I saw so much drama in church. So much corruption in church. So much manipulation in church. I didn't want anything to do with that. And the only thing I saw in church was a man-led church. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "So don't build it around you. Build it around me." I was like, whoa. Yeah, that sounds fun. A community built around the presence of God, not built around a man of personality, not built around ego, but built just around his presence, his goodness, his mercy, his glory, his gifts. I want to be a part of that. Listen, I've been pursuing this my entire life. And today, as much as 12 years old or 18 years old with my encounter with God, today I want more. Could you imagine the audacity of someone saying, "I have enough of him"? But really, isn't that what you're saying? "I got plenty. I don't need any more." If you don't think you need more, you haven't even met him. Because when you get one taste of this, when you get one taste of his presence, that's why our vision at Mercy Culture is not to have great church services. It's to go from corporate encounters to daily personal encounters, because I can't wait from Sunday to Sunday to get an encounter. I don't know where you'll be tomorrow morning, but tomorrow morning I'll be on the floor in my living room crying out for more. Because that's my heart's desire. Number four, didn't tongues and other gifts of the Spirit stop or cease with the apostles? 1 Corinthians 13 is where they come up with this. Love never ends, and all prophecies will pass away, and tongues, they will cease. For knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So here's my question. Has wisdom stopped? Has knowledge stopped? It just said that those were going to have to stop. So you just chose one that you decided stopped? Well, then the rebuttal is, well, when the perfect comes, they're implying that Jesus came. The problem is this is written 1 Corinthians 13 after Jesus came and left and said, I'm coming back. The perfect coming is the return of Christ. That's the return of the Jedi, not the first one or the prequel or the six episodes. I'm lost. I don't know where it's at anymore. But he's coming back. He's coming back. And this is what it's saying. When he comes back and establishes the kingdom of heaven on earth, we won't need to buy a Honda. Got that joke? Should have bought a Honda. Touch your neighbor and say, he's not weird. Relax, relax, relax. Just a little bit. Will you need to give a prophetic word when Jesus is here on earth? Excuse me, Jesus, I have a word. Can you pass the microphone? All of it will have ceased because the Holy One, the perfect one, is here. Has it happened yet, saints? Joel 2:28, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. We're in the last days. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So I thought it would all ceased. Let me just say this. The daughters haven't begun to prophesy in this house. The daughters haven't begun to prophesy in this city. The scripture says your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That's why you need to start praying in the Holy Ghost every day, girls, and get ready for that prophetic unction to come upon you. You don't know when, you don't know how, but it's going to come at a moment that the Spirit leads. You got to be prayed up. Number five, does everyone speak in tongues? Better way to say that is, can everyone speak in tongues? No. But everyone can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and have a prayer language of tongues. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:30, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. So they quote 1 Corinthians 12:30 saying, do all as a question. They say they don't all do it. And the truth is not everybody has a public word of tongues. But everybody, I love how Pastor Robert Moore says it, can have a grace of tongues or this prayer language of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:5, it's up on the screen. I wish that all of you could speak in tongues. Someone say all. So he wishes that all, the only problem is you don't wish. Just think about that. Well, it's not for me. You've heard people say this. Well, I just felt like if God wanted me to have it, he would give it to me. I was on a missions trip with the guy and we're going to another country and we somehow start talking about speaking in tongues. He's like, yeah, I don't speak in tongues. I'm like, how come? He goes, I just figured if God wanted me to have it, he'd give it to me. I said, well, that's funny. I said, how old were you when you got married? He's like, oh, 17. I'm like, what'd her dad say when you proposed? He's like, oh, he said no. I said, huh, when you wanted it, you went and got it. What they really mean by not everyone speaks in tongues, really what they're saying is I don't want it. That's really what they're saying. Because scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says in Matthew 21:22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Matthew 7:11, it says, if sinful people know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more your heavenly Father loves to give good gifts to those that ask. He loves to give gifts. You just have to ask. So do all speak in tongues? No, but not everyone goes to heaven either. Right? So many will say, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We did all these things. We prophesied in your name. He'll say, away from me, you doers of iniquity. I've not met one person claim not going to heaven. Man, not everyone's going to go to heaven. Just not for me. Have you? I haven't. But they do it with tongues without bat an eye. Oh, it's not for me. No, if you want heaven, go get it. His name is Jesus. He's the door. It's a narrow door. It's a narrow path, but he's the way. But what? When your heart is after that, you go in that direction. So if you want a spiritual gift, just ask the good Father. He loves giving gifts. I got to keep going. I got to hurry. Got quiet there. It's okay. It is. I worked hard on it. Thank you. Number six, do you need an interpreter to speak in tongues? Only for public words and tongues meant for the entire congregation. Okay? So in Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19, there were no interpreters. Because there wasn't done in a public word given for a public interpretation. Again, if someone stood up, that's not happening here, okay? So we're not letting you prophesy without knowing you, okay? We do this on our team night services where we come, we minister, we pray for people, and everything's done in order. So if you have a public word, you need interpretation. If it's not a public word, if it's a personal prayer time, then you don't. Okay, number seven, if God wanted me to speak in tongues, he would just give it to me. God only partners with faith. It's all you need is faith to receive it. Number eight, I don't know what I'm saying. This is where majority of people who can get past the manipulation that they were told on Facebook, this is where majority of the rest of people get stuck, is I don't know what I'm saying. And the reason why this is hard is because it's spiritual. And no, you won't know what you're saying. Because scripture told us what's happening. 1 Corinthians 14:2, that we are talking directly to God, praying mysteries in the Spirit. Perfect prayers. So a lot of people get stuck and they're like, well, I don't know what I'm saying, so I don't start. And the wonderful thing is, even if you knew what you're saying, if you're like me, you'd probably forget in 2 minutes anyway. It's a wonderful thing because what you're doing is you're in intercession, in unity with the Holy Spirit. Number nine, if I don't speak in tongues and someone else does that make them more spiritual or better than me? No, speaking in tongues makes you better and a more spiritual version of you. Has nothing to do with anyone else. Don't compare yourself. And I hate to break it to the Spirit-filled church because for some reason you think like you spoke in tongues and then you arrived. No. You spoke in tongues and now you start. Because honestly, I don't care if you speak in tongues if you don't have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The whole point of being full of the Spirit, the whole point of that is to produce fruit. Say, well, am I not full of the Spirit if I don't speak in tongues? According to Scripture, it is an initial evidence. But I think the greatest evidence is the fruit of the Spirit that you live in your daily life. That's the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Number 10, is there a fake or demonic tongue? No biblical evidence supports a fake or demonic spiritual tongue. But the enemy always tries to emulate and imitate. So I wouldn't put it past the enemy. Now I'm gonna show you why I love tongues so much. I'm trying to do this in the next 10 minutes. This is why I love the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when I say tongues, I'm talking about my personal prayer language. Number one is I hear God speak to me when I speak in tongues. This is why the Apostle Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, because he probably heard God better than anyone else. And I'm not saying this boasting. Someone accused me of boasting on social media this week. Paul wasn't boasting when he said, I thank God more than you, speak in tongues more than you all. He was teaching them the method that he heard God. I didn't even realize this until one day I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, how do I hear you? And he started showing me through my whole life, being 15, 16 years old, hearing him when I was speaking in tongues. What it does is it opens your spirit up to those spirit mysteries. I'll give you another cool scripture. This is cool. Skip two. I'm jumping ahead. 1 Corinthians 2:10. For to God revealed them through the Spirit, and the Spirit searches all, even the depths of God. Ah, I love this. When I'm asking God to speak to me or make a decision, I ask him out loud in English, and then I pray in the Holy Spirit. And usually something pops up in my spirit or something comes to me or it comes to my mind. This is how God speaks to you. Let me tell you why. Because your spirit is praying in unity with the Holy Spirit. You don't know what you're saying, but the Holy Spirit does. And then the Holy Spirit tells your spirit tells you, and that's how you figure it out. That makes sense? Okay, so I don't have a clue as I'm doing it, but all of a sudden, it comes. He speaks to me. He gives great revelation. I love this. Total surrender brings total fellowship. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says that in the tongue is the power of life and death? Who can master it? So many people have a hard time mastering this tongue. How do you master the tongue? By praying in the Holy Spirit. Number two, deliverance takes place. When I was in my early 20s, the pastor of the church that I worked for, he said, hey, some guy called the church. He needs you to go pray for his building downtown. So I went downtown and I had a weird feeling about it. I had a check in my spirit about it. So I grabbed another pastor. We went together and we got into the house. It's a 4-story building downtown. And the guy said, Reverend, I'm so glad you're here. There's ghosts in my building and I need you to do an exorcism. And I'm like, well, I don't do that. But we can pray, ask God to bless your house, your building, your business, and that's what we can do. And then I looked in the corner of his office, and there's a box of pornography. I'm like, the brother didn't even hide it when the reverend was coming over. And I said to him, I said, we could exterminate rats, but if you leave cheese out, they're coming back. So we go to walk upstairs, and he had a big husky dog, and his dog stopped. And his dog went go to the second floor, and he goes, see, that's where the ghosts are. So I walked to the second floor and I'm walking, and the only way I could describe it is it felt like something reached down my throat, ripped the air out of my lungs. I had the greatest rush of anxiety I've ever had in my entire life. Could barely breathe. So I did what this church boy knew how to do. I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. And I prayed until my breath came back, or till the Ruah, the breath of God, filled me. I prayed until I felt the peace come. So I was at a church service a few years later. And as we were praying in the Holy Ghost, no one was prophesying in tongues. It was all believers. It was a Sunday night service. And we're praying, and I saw demons flying all over the roof of the church. Saw these demons, tormenting demons. But as we prayed in the Holy Spirit, I saw this blue dome, or what the Lord showed me was a hedge of protection over the church. And as we prayed louder in the Spirit, the blue dome exploded off the church, and every demon was gone. Another story. So then I got a call a few weeks later from a friend of mine who struggles with a same-sex attraction. And he was fighting it. He called me and he just said, Lane, I don't feel like I'm delivered. I feel like these things keep coming back. And he was so frustrated. I'll teach on deliverance another time. But we're talking about, I said, when was the last time you prayed in the Holy Ghost? And he's like, man, I don't know. It's been a while. And I realized that people who are praying the Holy Ghost don't pray in the Holy Ghost enough. And usually they pray in the Holy Ghost about as much as they floss. Like, you know, when you're at the dentist and he's like, are you flossing every day? And you're like, not every day. In fact, last time I flossed, you did it. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's disgusting. And I said, where are you? He said, I'm driving on the freeway. I said, pull over. So he pulls over and he starts praying in the Holy Ghost. And I start praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden I felt the peace of God fall on me. I said, bro, do you feel that? He goes, yes. I said, where's your temptation? He said, it's gone. Hold on. Do you know how to respond to anxiety? Yeah. You're not the only one that gets it. Come on. You know how to respond to fear? When you're laying in bed and you feel something walk in your room that's not peaceful, you know how to respond spiritually. Do you know how to grow? Do you know how to strengthen the house? You pray in the Holy Spirit and you watch that stuff leave. Listen, because the Holy Spirit can't come abide and make his presence and other things stay. When light comes in the room, I'll say it this way. When fire comes in the room, darkness has to flee. Deliverance takes place when you pray in the Holy Spirit. Number three, unity is created. If you're fighting in your family, get together and just pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm dead serious. If you guys are fighting, chirping, and all this stuff, okay? And those who don't pray in the Holy Ghost, just haven't watched this message. But just pray in the Holy Ghost together. No. Truly, when you love people and you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost together. We have pre-service prayer every single week at 9 a.m. before you all get here. And we pray in the Holy Ghost for about 15 minutes together. And then we enter the holy place together. Before you ever get here, you ever notice when you walk in this place, you feel the Holy Spirit? Because before you even get here, we're in it. Because it creates unity. Number four, power is released. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. Mark chapter 9, disciples could not cast out demons before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. After they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they never met a demon they couldn't cast out again. Mark 16:7, these are signs that will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues. Number five reason is because you become bold. Jude 1:20. But beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy of faith by praying in the Spirit. I love in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. Now Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them and began to preach and defend the gospel. I love this. Peter was embarrassed of a 12-year-old girl and asking if he was a disciple. Disciple of Jesus and denied Christ when he wasn't spirit filled. Because when you don't have this power, you will bend under pressure. But he gets spirit filled and turns in boldness and response. People say to me all the time, Landon, you're pretty bold for writing some of the books and saying some of the things that you said. They say to me all the time, I appreciate your boldness. You know what? I don't feel bold. I just am more afraid of not obeying God than I am anything that they say. Do you know how I persevere? I pray in the Holy Ghost all the time. I was driving the car the other day. My daughter says to me, Dad, why do you do that so much? Because I need to build myself up even more. Worship team, make your way back to the stage. Those are the five reasons why I love speaking in tongues. Let me give you the five reasons Satan hates speaking in tongues. It's the same as my five, because you hear God clearly, because you walk in deliverance, because unity is established, because power comes upon you and you become bold. Let me tell you why religious people hate it. It exposes their lack of power. It exposes their lack of intimacy. It makes them look foolish. You know, a lot of people don't like it because you look foolish. Oh, you can't get baptized. You look like you're baptized. That's what they did. They mocked them in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. These guys are drunk. Do you know you'll never get away from that? You will look foolish. But that's why God says he chooses the power. He chooses the foolish things of man to shame the wise. Listen, I would rather look foolish in front of man, and I would rather have power in the presence of God. Man looks at the outward appearance anyway, but the Lord is looking at the heart and the spirit. And I'm telling you, you'll receive power when you're willing to look foolish. Last thing I'll say is this, is the same way the Pharisees resisted Jesus is the same way religious people resist the Holy Spirit. There's no difference. Everywhere he went, they challenged him, mocked him, opposed him, and tried to kill him. That's what religious people do to anyone who's spirit-filled. They try to assassinate your character, try to assassinate your doctrine. They try to assassinate everything about you. They oppose you. They resist you. If Satan hates it and religious people hate it, shouldn't that be an indication? There might be something on it. Just think about that for a second. It is a gift from God. God's best gift to the world was Jesus. But Jesus' best gift to the world was the Holy Spirit. Why would you not want a gift from the Holy Spirit? It's Heather's birthday today. It's mine 2 weeks ago. She lied to me. She told me we're going to go over and visit with people for MC Connect. That's going to be pastoral, minister. And I show up, and it's a surprise party. I didn't ask for it, didn't know about it. In fact, we were on a walk 4 days there. I was like, hey, there's nothing for my birthday. Let's just go simple. Let's just be a family. Not, I don't need anything for my birthday. And I get there and people started handing me gifts. All these awesome gifts. And they're excited to watch me open the gifts. Could you imagine if we came to the party and I was like, no, I don't want your gift. Take that back. Little kids making me drawings and stuff. I don't want this. So there's 9 spiritual gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, power, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and distinguishing between the spirit. Why did you choose one you don't want? Who convinced you to not want that gift? Who planted that seed in your heart? Oh, do you know when Jesus gave you the gift? He was on the cross. And he said, Father, in your hands, I offer up my spirit. As he's on the cross, he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Watch. And someone has said, I don't want it. Can I tell you the greatest secret to all of this? If you've given your life to the Lord, let me see your hand, just wave at me. If you've committed your life to Jesus, you already have the gift. You have the Spirit. Just open it up. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place? In fact, would you do this? Just stand up. Just stand up. Close your eyes tight. Take a big breath. The Lord showed me he already gave you the gift. Would you just stick your hands out right now and just receive it? Is all you have to do is receive it. I asked the Lord this week, because someone asked me, they said, why do some people get it more easily than others? I said, Lord, why do some people give it more easily than others? The Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit and said, some people receive gifts more easily than others. Just hold that gift, would you? One more time, would you breathe in the breath of God right now, the Ruah of God? Lord, where there's word and spirit, there's power. No one's going to lay hands on you. No one's going to embarrass you. We'll be done in 2 minutes. But I heard the Lord speak to me and say this: if you want the gift, just unwrap it. If you want the gift, just receive it. Just receive it. You say, how do I receive the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, tongues? The exact way you did salvation. Lord, by faith, I receive it. I want you to right now, with your hands in front of you, I want you to picture yourself right now. Maybe you want to even do it, act it out. I do these silly things all the time. But just open it up right now. Open it up. Open up that gift. Open up that gift right now. And would you just on your own, as you're opening it up in your heart, would you just ask, just tell the Lord, I receive your gift. I receive it. Ask him for it. Give it to me, Lord. Give it to me. Just say, I receive it. I receive it by faith. Come on, out loud. Just say it out loud. Just say, I receive it by faith. Come on, church, right now. This is where you pray. I receive it by faith. I receive it by faith. Okay, last thing. Here, we're done. Watch. On our second week of Mercy Culture, this lady came up to me weeping. She said, I saw you on Daystar. I'm here on business. I just left the convention center to make your service. I've been asking the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 3 years, and in worship, I got it. No one laid hands on her. No one prayed over her. She lifted her hands
and receive the gift. I'm going to ask every single person in this place, lift your hands and receive the gift. Sing.
Come like a flame of fire.
Just receive the gift. Just receive the gift. Father, I pray right now, by your Spirit, you're a good Father. You love to give gifts. So Father, teach us how to posture our heart to receive everything you have for us. So I pray right now for a baptism, Holy Spirit's fire to fall right now on your people. Come on, lift your hands to heaven right now and just start worshiping Him. Father, I pray right now for the gift of wisdom to fall, knowledge to fall, faith to fall, healing to fall, power to fall, prophecy to fall, speaking in tongues to fall, interpretation of tongues to fall, and discerning the spirits to fall. Father, we want everything you have for us. Come on now for one more minute. With everything you have, just begin to worship Him. Just begin to worship Him.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.